Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. High surf and storm surge after Tropical Storm Alberto formed in the Gulf of Mexico. It's the first named storm this hurricane season, and it's already dumped 10 inches of rain in some spots, killed at least three people in Mexico. And along the south coast of Texas, they're bracing for flooding with tropical storm warnings from Houston to Brownsville. Meanwhile, heavy rain expected to swamp New Mexico again today, triggering dangerous flooding. Louisiana has become the first state to require the Ten Commandments be displayed in public classrooms. Republican Governor Jeff Landry at Wednesday's bill signing.
Because if you want to respect the rule of law, you got to start from the original lawgiver, which was Moses.
That's right. Amen.
The ACLU expects to challenge the Biden administration canceling a top-level meeting with Israeli officials after Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu claimed the U.S. was withholding military aid from Israel. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. DNA testing confirms an arm found on an Illinois beach belonged to Shardae Robinson. Maxwell Anderson is accused of killing and dismembering the 19-year-old Milwaukee area technical college student in April. Other remains were found at different places around southeast Wisconsin. A big explosion Wednesday morning rocked downtown Madison and Civic Media's John and Gordy show. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
John and Gordy were about to wrap up their show when
they do crank up the.
Good Lord.
Well, what was that?
It shook nearby buildings, including Short Stack Eatery. Co-owner Sinead McHugh talked to our Gordy Young.
I totally thought it was thunder.
Two construction workers were hurt, but they're expected to be okay. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Brewers win with defense. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Sal Frelick in center field again for the second night in a row, robbing the Angels' Taylor Ward with another great catch at the wall. That secured a 2-0 win for the Brewers over the Angels in Anaheim. It's the Brewers' fourth series win in a row, 2-1. Milwaukee's Freddie Peralta back in form, pitching 6 scoreless innings. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I thought Freddie was terrific. His focus was really good. He was consistent. When his windup and delivery are consistent, his pace is consistent, he doesn't let the outcome of the pitch or the play affect him. And, you know, he carries all that on him. You know, he expects this. He expects 6 shutout every time, and that's hard. You know, it's Major League Baseball, and he's been around a while. Guys know him, and guys are gunning for him and getting up for him, and really proud that, you know, Freddie battled the way he did tonight.
So the crew now heads to San Diego to open a long 4-game series against the Padres with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Matt Mayer on air.
I've never played this game. Uno is great because kids can play against adults without being overmatched, and adults can play it together and still have fun.
Robert from McFarland flipped a table during an Uno game.
Maybe this is why I don't play these games.
Oh, I would love to play Uno with you.
You want to have an Uno fest?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
We could, like, have an Uno fest for charity or something.
That'd be cool.
Matt Mayer on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Tim Sowers from the Overture Center for the Arts in Madison. I'm also joined by Mary Rose Eckberg from Make Music Madison.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Today, showers and thunderstorms, a high near 72. For tonight, scattered storms with lows in the low 60s. For Friday, showers, maybe a thunderstorm. We'll have heavy rainfall possible with a high near 75. Friday night, scattered storms and a low around 66.
It's 57 at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's, like, testosterone and overload and whatever, testosterone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Todd Albaugh here. Join us next time as we come back from Juneteenth to Baraboo and back in the studio to discuss news headlines and so much more. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
Oh, my goodness. Our rainfall reporters are going to be exhausted by the time we get through this latest weather front. Welcome in, everybody. It's a Thursday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. And I'll tell you what, I think everybody's getting a little frustrated with the on again, off again situation we've had with rain. I've got rain in the Madison area this morning. I bet you've got rain falling in your neighborhood as well. Looks like it's going to stay that way until at least late morning all across the state. Daytime highs today are going to be in the upper 70s, but I'll tell you what, it still feels extremely muggy out there. The moisture is definitely in the air. Not a lot of moisture necessarily in the rain gauge, though. Maybe a quarter of an inch to as much as a half an inch. You'll have to let me know if that's what's happening in your backyard. Rain again tonight, and then more showers and thunderstorms in the forecast for Friday, as well as Saturday and Sunday. Ugh, great weather if you're a duck. We're going to talk weather with Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist. He's on the way. Also, some leadership changes at the popular farm store, Blaine's Farm and Fleet. I've got those details also coming your way. Right now, we want to pivot back to last week's 95th Wisconsin State FFA Convention. Wow, fantastic attendance. Great support from the adults, the advisors, the chaperones that were on hand. Sally Ladston took it all in. She is the Wisconsin State FFA advisor working through the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. What you may not know about Sally is that she was a teacher herself in the Sauk Prairie community. And previously, she was a Wisconsin State FFA officer. In fact, she was our Wisconsin State FFA president at one time. Caught up with Sally and asked her how it feels. Does she get nostalgic when she looks at the crew around her at the 95th Wisconsin State FFA convention?
It's really fun to be back in a different role. I think my favorite thing, though, is bringing in new people to the convention and them saying, how does everybody know each other so well? And we talk about FFA being a family, but really ag ed as a whole and ag teachers in particular, we know each other sometimes a little too well, but it's really fun to have almost like a family reunion when we come back.
Now let's talk a little bit about all these blue and gold jackets. Numbers are up according to the announcements I hear at the convention.
Yeah, we're at a record membership year, 25,911. I'll double check that and make sure, but I'm pretty sure that's where we're at. Right now we're right around the 3,500 mark registered for convention, which is incredible. And now we're looking at, is this space big enough or where do we go next? Which is an exciting problem to have, but just awesome to see so many new members engaging in ways that we haven't seen before. So excited to see where that might take us into the future as we see more and more students coming from different paths.
And for traditional old school folks like myself, we better think forward because FFA ag education is not limited to classroom size physically anymore.
Yeah, it's definitely expanding beyond the classroom walls, and we're seeing that in a unique new program. We chartered a Destinations Career Academy FFA chapter this year. Destinations is a virtual school for career and technical education students to engage with. And so having a licensed agriculture teacher on staff and having students attending that, they had an interest in joining FFA. So we're really excited to see those walls of the classroom barriers coming down and seeing what that means for us, giving us some ideas of thinking through what does that look like for contests and competitions that have historically been geographically bound, and how do we navigate some of these new waters that we're venturing into that are new for all of us.
And that school, if I recall, had 50 agriculture graduates this year, so it's not like it's struggling to get attention. Tell me a little bit more about that, Sally.
Yeah, they're having really strong attendance and have a lot of people interested in the programming. We know one of the major barriers in the state is not having a program, and one of the reasons for that is not having an ag teacher. And so being able to take down that physical requirement of being in a location and having an ag program at your fingertips, regardless of where you live, is really helpful. Obviously, if students are living in a district where they have an ag program, that's a great option. But for students who live in areas where that's not an option for them, now they don't have to always consider looking at transferring to a different school. Now they have the chance to really engage in a way that's unique to them and unique to their program.
I noted that the Project Destinations Career Academy out of McFarland had three high schools engaged. Can you tell me a little bit more about the geographic reach that that virtual academy helped to draw in?
So they have students from all across the state of Wisconsin, all the way up in the northwest corner, all the way down to the Milwaukee corner in the southeast. So they see students from all across the state. The district that that academy is officially tied to is the McFarland School District, so a higher population in the Dane County area, but really seeing students from all across the state engaging and participating in the coursework.
I have never seen an agriculture instructor that wasn't creative, Sally, including yourself. Let's talk a little bit about how you bring that FFA experience to a virtual audience, though.
That's something that we're still exploring. Mindy Smits is the instructor at Destinations, and she does a great job of figuring out what that looks like, and we're all kind of exploring that together. Something that I think is really unique about the Destinations Career Academy program, they've really embraced the hands-on learning. And so, obviously, everyone hears virtual when they think about agriculture, and you miss that hands-in-the-dirt type of situation. But they're sending out lab kits frequently to their students to engage and actually participate in hands-on learning. And that then translates to FFA, looking at doing meetings virtually and having conversations with people and fun social activities in a virtual environment. But they do bring people together in person as well, which I think is a really unique aspect of that program and why it is a great place to start for us as we start to explore some of these removals of the classroom barriers to see how does this look in kind of a hybrid environment and then stepping further into the fully virtual.
Now, what about the funding mechanism for something like that? When you're involving multiple school districts and distance and needing supplies, how do you folks handle that kind of situation?
So that's up to the local school district themselves. There are students that are fully enrolled through Destinations Career Academy, so that is their school district. There are other students that are taking just that career and technical education coursework through them. So it really is a case-by-case situation, but that's handled at the local level. So at the state level, we're not engaged in that conversation as much, just really making sure as long as dues are paid and some of those components are met, it's up to that chapter to figure out how they want to fund themselves.
Now, granted, this is the first time that we've seen that successfully launched, but are you already getting inquiries from other areas or other potential academies?
We are constantly getting requests for starting programs. The number one thing that we tell people when they call and look to start a new program is you have to have that licensed agriculture teacher. And unfortunately right now when we're in a severe shortage, that's a hurdle to overcome. But we see a lot of programs that are really driven and interested in finding ways to recruit teachers into that space. And so I think it's opening the door for new potential.
Well, we have to talk about teachers, Sally. I've seen a lot of different configurations, team teaching, a lot of science teachers joining in. We have tried to wrestle this tiger by the tail for a while. What's it looking like now that the end of the 2024 school year is behind us and we're pivoting ahead? Give me your update.
So we're up to over 50 teacher changes for the year, and I believe we're at 6 retirements. So if you do the math, a lot of those are either new programs starting, which is exciting, going from a one-teacher program to two or vice versa. We're seeing a lot of other career and technical education areas where they might not find a teacher, so now they're looking at could this potentially be an agriculture program that has an emphasis in another area. We're also seeing just teachers leaving the classroom and heading into other fields, industry, other places in education, whatever that looks like. And so the conversation continues to be, how do we recruit and retain those teachers? A huge benefit for us has been experience-based licensure, getting people into the classroom who haven't followed that traditional four-year university route. That comes with some additional supports that are needed for those individuals. And something that I've been really trying to focus on this year is how do we make sure that we're supporting those individuals and not saying, well, we don't have a licensed teacher, and saying, we have a licensed teacher, it's just a different type of license. And because of that, we need to make sure we're providing the supports that those individuals need. That not only comes from the state level and my office and the Wisconsin Association of Agricultural Educators, but also looking at those community supports too. How does a community embrace a new teacher and make sure they feel welcome so that they're not ready to jump in 2 years, but instead they're ready to dedicate their life to the career field?
You mentioned 50 changeovers, 6 retirements. How many vacancies did you have going into this summer?
So that number's a little bit unclear, I'll call it. I think A couple months ago, we were sitting at about 25 that we knew of that would be changing. We're starting to see mid-year changes happening more frequently than what we have in the past. People who January say, nope, I'm leaving. So that's something that we're starting to address and really thinking through what might be causing that change and how do we help keep people in the classroom, if not for the long haul, at least through the contracted school year. And so just thinking through the dynamics of that and what that means for some of our programs, but also how do we fill those positions when they are opening mid-year? Now it's a whole different ball of wax. Your recent grads have already found those jobs. So it's created some new challenges and some things that we're trying to dig into and find better answers for at this point.
Well, and we've always prided ourselves on homegrown talent. Now we're ready to kind of poach and jump anywhere.
Yeah, people are going wherever they can find a job, and I tell people often, if you're interested in being an ag teacher, come talk to me, because we will find a way to get you in a classroom as quickly as we can, and a lot of programs are willing to support teachers in ways that they haven't been able to in the past, so that's really exciting. Rachel Savalo was selected as Teacher of the Year, one of the Teachers of the Year for this upcoming year. She did a presentation for some of our school administrators yesterday and really talked about the role that an administrator can play in that ag teacher's life and how to make sure that they're supporting that program and meeting the needs of the community as well. And we say all the time, it takes a village to raise a child, but it takes a village to raise an ag program too. And it can't just be that teacher's shoulders that it's all resting on.
Well, that is for sure, Sally. Sally Ladston is our Wisconsin State FFA advisor through the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. And like she said, it takes a village. That village is a 12-month commitment. Remember, agriculture educators and FFA advisors, one and the same generally, they sign a 12-month contract compared to a standard teacher contract that only runs until the summer months. Now, those agriculture educators are getting together for their summer professional development conference happening the 22nd through the 26th of June in Oshkosh. I'll see them there. Well, I see raindrops on my window, raindrops in the rainfall reporter gauge. Rainfall reporters, do you have anything for me this morning? 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Our talk text line lighting up with your rainfall reports. We'll see if Stu Mutt can lighten up our forecast. He's on the way next.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Following charges for Wisconsin's alleged fake elector scheme organizers June 4th, Arizona arraigned the last of the 18 involved in the scheme there. Michigan completed preliminary hearings for six more alleged signers. June 18th, Trump campaign attorneys Boris Epstein and Jenna Ellis and former U.S. Senate candidate Jim Lehman were arraigned in a Phoenix courtroom on conspiracy, fraud, and forgery charges. All pleaded not guilty and will face trial beginning November 14th. Former President Donald Trump and four others remain unindicted co-conspirators in the case. In Michigan, six apparent signers of the fake Electoral College document appeared in a Lansing courtroom in early June, where their attorneys attacked the special prosecutor's credibility. The Michigan Advance reports that prosecutors attempted to establish that the signers knew the document would be submitted as a genuine slate of electors, not just a backup if the state's outcome was overturned. No trial date has yet been set. Three organizers of the scheme, Kenneth Cheesebro, Jim Troupas, and Mike Roman, were charged with felony forgery by Wisconsin's Attorney General in early June. No charges have yet been filed against the 10 signers of the Wisconsin document, including a former state GOP chair, two national committee members, and a member of the Wisconsin Election Commission. We've linked to details for all the cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Sign up for free daily emails at our website.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk, a message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, our Women Win Wisconsin interview, powered by Motherhood for Good, catches up with one of the nicest candidates on any ballot, our friend Luann Bird.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
In most cases, a family business. You were born into it, you decided you wanted to do it, and you kind of carry on. A lot of our Wisconsin agribusinesses are the same. Well, I just want to take a moment and congratulate the store that a lot of you are familiar with, Blaine's Farm and Fleet. They've announced that they're making some management changes, but it's still going to stay focused on the family. Mark Hasting has been named the new chief executive officer and president of Blaine's Farm and Fleet. He was originally hired in 2020 as chief stores officer and was in charge of store and auto service center operations. Now, beginning in the next 4 months, he will become chief executive officer and president. They're also promoting Kim Treese to chief stores officer. Kim came to the Blaine's group after some experience in the real estate, construction, and facilities management area. So now Kim is going to be taking over as chief stores officer. And Jane Blaine Gilbertson is going to become the executive chair of the and remain the sole owner of Blaine's Farm and Fleet and Blaine Supply Incorporated. Both of her daughters, Nicole Gilbertson and Sarah Gilbertson, said that they're really happy that mom's getting a chance to try a little something else, like traveling, etc. Congratulations to Jane, her daughters, as well as the new leadership. Still keeping it family. Today, Jane is going to begin taking kind of a thank you tour. She said she is. They've opened 10 new stores, including 5 in Michigan, total of 45 stores that now make up Blaine's. Congratulations. All right, let's talk weather. Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, along with us. I have got rainfall reports. Ugh. The phrase flooding in is what crosses my mind. Half an inch of rain in Reeseville from Linda this morning. Greg in West Bend said about 4/10. Then you get towards the Browntown area, and they had an inch of rain. It's coming down right now here in Madison.
It's coming down here at Fond du Lac, too. I've got a couple of for you. 4/10 at the Fond du Lac County Airport. John, just over to the closer to the Sheboygan County line, 0.8 inches. And I do see the airport in Madison set 1.44 inches, Pam. So there's a lot of rain out there right now. It may not seem like that much. It's just rain drops falling in the Fond du Lac area. But that line of rain extends from northwest Illinois, south central over to east central Wisconsin. In the northwest, yeah, you may only have a stray raindrop or two, but you're not done. There's more rain from southeast South Dakota into western and central Minnesota. That's going to cross into northwestern Wisconsin yet today. A warm front is steady just off to our south, northern Missouri to Illinois. That's going to push north to Wisconsin with more rain today and tomorrow as well. I'll have forecast details right after this.
I really love the changeup I'm seeing at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke reminding you, shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, BavariaSausage.com. Or better yet, let your nose lead you to the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Bavaria Sausage, more expanded hours. Their retail location open now Monday through Friday, 9 until 7. Saturdays, 9 until 1. And like I said, let your nose lead you. The old world flavors are in the air. And if it's time for a brat fry, they'll be outdoors sharing those smells and those flavors. And I like the change up there, too. They're featuring different brats, different sausages every time they hold that event. Follow them on social media to find out for the next scheduled brat fry. And like I said, the old world flavor stays intact, but be sure to pay attention to new flavors being offered all the time. Bavaria Sausage, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. All right, buddy, let's have that forecast. I wish it would include dry weather, but I think we're going to roll into the first day of summer damp, huh?
Yeah, we've got some rain around there, Pam. Unfortunately, not much more we can do about it. Mostly cloudy today. The morning showers from the south and east may end for a time. The rain will slide into the northwestern parts of Wisconsin here later today, and there may be some redevelopment in the east later on as well. Mid-70s, low and mid-70s, not uncomfortable. East winds at 5. A rain chance lasts into the nighttime with mostly cloudy skies, down in the low and mid-60s with east winds at 5 to 10. Northwest Wisconsin could see some rain amounts of an inch or two on through Friday. Partly sunny a lot of other places, though. Scattered showers, could be some thunderstorms. Up into the 80s Friday, low and mid-80s with south breezes. And even Saturday, Pam, still mostly cloudy. Scattered showers, could be a thunderstorm. Upper 80s. I'm looking ahead. Sunday is the breakfast on the farm here in Fond du Lac County. It actually looks like it may dry out.
Oh, hallelujah. That's good news. I appreciate that. That's a great way to end it. Thanks, Stu. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Catch you then.
All right. Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, ending on a high note. The possibility of dry weather on the way. Go ahead. Use our talk text line. What'd you get in the rainfall report? What's rain gauge look like? Doesn't seem like a lot in many areas, but I'd love to hear from you. 877-301-3276. 877-301-FARM.
This is the Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL-HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL-HHS or the U.S. government.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian, do you buy your tickets on Ticketmaster?
Whether I want to or not, I do.
Bella DeVan. We're going to talk a little bit about monopolies.
Live Nation and Ticketmaster together control 80% of the primary ticketing market. They have the market power to bully people into submission. And then you drop the consumers into basically having to pay like junk fees that are basically created to create profit for the company.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. High surf and storm surge after Tropical Storm Alberto formed in the Gulf of Mexico. It's the first named storm this hurricane season, and it's already dumped 10 inches of rain in some spots, killed at least three people in Mexico. And along the south coast of Texas, they're bracing for flooding with tropical storm warnings from Houston to Brownsville. Meanwhile, heavy rain expected to swamp New Mexico again today, triggering dangerous flooding. Louisiana has become the first state to require the Ten Commandments be displayed in public classrooms. Republican Governor Jeff Landry at Wednesday's bill signing.
Because if you want to respect the rule of law, you got to start from the original lawgiver, which was Moses.
That's right. Amen.
The ACLU expects to challenge the Biden administration canceling a top-level meeting with Israeli officials after Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu claimed the U.S. was withholding military aid from Israel. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. DNA testing confirms an arm found on an Illinois beach belonged to Shardae Robinson. Maxwell Anderson is accused of killing and dismembering the 19-year-old Milwaukee Area Technical College student in April. Other remains were found at different places around southeast Wisconsin. A big explosion Wednesday morning rocked downtown Madison and Civic Media's John and Gordy show. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
John and Gordy were about to wrap up their show when...
They do crank out the...
Good Lord.
What was that?
It shook nearby buildings, including Short Stack Eatery. Co-owner Sinead McHugh talked to our Gordy Young.
I totally thought it was thunder.
Two construction workers were hurt, but they're expected to be okay. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Brewers win with defense. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Sal Frelick in center field again for the second night in a row, robbing the Angels' Taylor Ward with another great catch at the wall. That secured a 2-0 win for the Brewers over the Angels in Anaheim. It's the Brewers' fourth series win in a row, 2-1. Milwaukee's Freddy Peralta back in form, pitching 6 scoreless innings. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I thought Freddy was terrific. His focus was really good. He was consistent. When his windup and delivery are consistent, his pace is consistent, he doesn't let the outcome of the pitch or the play affect him. And, you know, he carries all that on him. You know, he expects this. He expects 6 shutout every time, and that's hard. You know, it's Major League Baseball, and he's been around a while. Guys know him, and guys are gunning for him and getting up for him, and really proud that, you know, Freddie battled the way he did tonight.
So the crew now heads to San Diego to open a long 4-game series against the Padres with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to a very special Devil's Advocates radio show this Thursday. We'll be both stirring the pot and cooking with gas. Friday Eve, tune in Devils.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Today, showers and thunderstorms, a high near 72. For tonight, scattered storms with lows in the low 60s. For Friday, showers, maybe a thunderstorm. We'll have heavy rainfall possible with a high near 75. Friday night, scattered storms and a low around 66.
It's 57 at our studios.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Consider yourself a snowbird with property in the south, or just like to vacation there. You'll want to keep an eye on what's predicted to be an active hurricane season from now through the end of November. Forecasters say that there's an 85% chance of above the normal number of hurricanes, especially in the Atlantic Basin. Here's what it could look like. 17 to 25 storms, 8 to 13 of them becoming hurricanes, and 4 to 7 of those could be major. If you're wondering why, temperatures in the Atlantic Ocean are near record warmth, and La Niña conditions are developing, and both of these support the formation of tropical storms. No matter where you go, it's information to keep you and your family weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever the, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
This broad reaching, well, we can't help people because we can't control how they spend the money, somehow magically doesn't apply to billionaires doesn't apply to corporations who dodge their taxes every year. The only people who are subject to the conservative morality police are poor people. How dare you?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm Yankee.
Now let's try to get a little pep in our step on a Thursday despite this rainy forecast. My goodness, rain this morning, rain this afternoon, tonight, rain on Friday, rain on Saturday, rain on Sunday. We got to try to shake it off. We got a lot of good things happening across the state of Wisconsin. June dairy activities, of course, going on Saturday and Sunday. We also have the Elroy Fair that's now officially getting underway today in Elroy. More on that in just a moment. I'm Pam Yonke. Welcome back. This is the Midwest Farm Report. So, like I said, you heard the weather forecast. We're not going to dry out anytime soon. Rainfall reporters, your contributions always welcome. 877-301-FARM. That's our talk text line. 877-301-3276. So today is the 20th day of June. What can I tell you? Let's see, on this day back in 1975, the film Jaws premieres. Steven Spielberg's thriller about a rogue great white shark. Honestly, it didn't just terrorize the audience in the theaters. People actually avoided swimming that summer because of the impact that movie had on them. Jaws premieres on this day back in 1975. Couple happy birthdays today. Happy birthday to singer-songwriter Lionel Richie, 75 years young. Actor John Goodman, Roseanne's husband, 72 today. And Nicole Kidman, Mrs. Keith Urban, she is celebrating her 57th birthday today. And now you know. Yesterday, the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection wanted to refresh our memory on where things stand as far as high-path avian influenza in dairy cattle. According to the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, as of yesterday, 100 dairy herds in 12 states, including Iowa, Michigan, and Minnesota, have detected high-path avian influenza in their dairy population. Wisconsin has not. We are still in the clear, but working very diligently to keep it that way through increased testing of our dairy cows that might be moving off the farm, specifically those animals going to county fairs or dairy shows of any type. Today is the beginning of the Elroy Fair in Elroy, where they will be the first to have to verify those dairy cows coming in. Marie Price, president of the Elroy Fair Board, says no big deal for them.
The Wisconsin dairy industry is very resilient, and many years ago, I'm kind of dating myself here, I've been involved in the fair industry for over 40 years, and it was common. We had to, the week before the fair, get a brucellosis blood test, and since we've eradicated that disease from the state of Wisconsin, we've went away from that testing requirement. We no longer have to do that. So I think this is just a bump in the road that we're going to see until we get all the protocols in place and everything organized, but I really do not see this have a long-term impact.
There you go, Marie. We appreciate you. Marie Price is the president of the Elroy Fair Board, one she's been connected with, as she said, for 40 years. They get underway today, first in the state, to be monitoring the new testing requirements coming with those dairy cows that are being exhibited. Now, Department of Health Services officials also reminding folks whether you're going to a dairy breakfast or you're going to be attending county fairs, some of the responsibility for safety falls on you. They just like to remind people, it's wonderful that you come in contact with animals. The kids want to scratch the goats or the bunnies or whatever. Just remember to kind of wash your hands when you get done with that. Department of Health Services public health veterinarian Angie Max says that really you need to be mindful of washing your hands when you get done playing with the animals. Wash your hands before you have that fair food. Stay away from animals if they look sick to you. And if you're sick, stay home. So some friendly reminders from the Department of Health Services as we get ready for the show season. Coming up next, he's going to show up for me, Mike North with Everag. Always great conversation with him when it comes to dairy trends. And they're trading again this morning in Chicago after the Juneteenth break. Give you a little market update next.
Lely Center Monroe is hosting an open house on June 26th in Blanchardville at Baron Grunenfelder's Farm. From 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., attendees will see Lely milking robots and the Lely Juno feed pusher in action. They will also be treated to a free lunch and gelato provided by Lucky Cow and will be entered to win a Lely Luna Cow brush. So make plans to attend the Lely Center Monroe open house in Blanchardville on June 26th. Full details on Facebook at Lely Center Monroe.
One of the most common questions that farmers ask is, why don't we see marketing for our dairy products in our state? Where should we be looking? Tina Peterson, Director of Wisconsin Communications for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, sheds light on how you can see your checkoff dollars at work.
Well, this is the perfect time of the year for them to ask that. In every media market across the state in June, we have over 57 dairy farm families featured on local news stations telling their dairy story and encouraging consumers to really celebrate June Dairy Month. But outside of Wisconsin is actually where we spend a majority of our efforts. We know that in Wisconsin, we appreciate our dairy farmers and our dairy products, but we really need to grow demand outside of Wisconsin. In fact, 90% of the milk in Wisconsin is made into cheese, and 90% of that cheese is sold outside of Wisconsin. So growing those export markets, growing demand across the United States, whether it's out in Washington or down in Florida, those are the areas that we really target to make sure we're growing demand.
Visit WisconsinDairy.org to learn more.
So they're just getting their big toe back in the water down in Chicago after the Juneteenth break. We'll be talking more about dairy markets specifically with Mike North from Everag in just a second. A lot of red ink already this morning. December corn right now down two at 466. November soybeans trading 2.25 cents lower at 1130. July wheat this morning's down eight at 574. Now on the dairy side of things, fluid milk for cheese is up a little bit. July Class 3 milk's up 18 cents at $19.79. The August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 8 at $20.38 a hundredweight. You know, I mentioned earlier that we've got June dairy events that are going to be happening both Saturday and Sunday all across the state of Wisconsin, and it will continue right until the end of the month. So if you've procrastinated, there's still plenty of opportunities. In fact, Stephanie Hoff caught up with the host for one of the last dairy breakfasts at the end of June.
The 35th annual Washera County June Dairy Breakfast is on the last day of June, Sunday the 30th, at the Hancock Agricultural Research Station. While the dairy breakfast is not at a dairy farm, it will be a great celebration of Wisconsin agriculture. Troy Fischler is the superintendent of the research station. He says this is a valuable opportunity to introduce the public to the research happening on premise.
Part of the thing that my farm manager and I would like to show everyone is that when we do the tours around the fields, is that research at the station focuses on developing and evaluating ways to sustainably grow vegetables in our region's sandy, fast-draining soils and high water table, including more effective approaches to managing the nutrients, pests, and water that we use as inputs in the crops. To supply the ever-growing population with a consistent food supply, we need to increase these yields while lowering the inputs used, and this can only be accomplished through research. And I'm excited to show our visitors that day of some of the research that's being conducted here, or just talking about that at least.
Give me a sense of the specialty crops that you guys are working with.
You bet. So, I'll give you some statistics here that I received from my friends with the Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers Association, that they're always nice about updating us on where we stand as in the national specter. Wisconsin is typically first in snap beans, first in beets, first in cabbage made into sauerkraut. We're typically second in carrots and peas, and third in potatoes, which I'm very proud of. And we're always striving to catch Washington State, which is number two, and Idaho, which is, of course, number one. And then we're also a third, as we usually run with sweet corn as well. And then cucumbers for pickles is a big commodity here that's grown. And then we're kind of always in the top 10 with onion production. Oh, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention that we're number one in cranberries. So that's really what this day is about, just celebrating all the fantastic agriculture in our state.
That's really the identity of central Wisconsin, is the specialty crops, but also the sandy soil, as you mentioned, fast draining soil as well. So water monitoring, I know, is an important tool for farmers in that area. Is that something that Hancock ARS is going to showcase as well?
Well, that's something we're definitely working on right now, and that's a big primary focus is cleaning up our aquifer that we use to irrigate our crops. So on this particular day, we can talk about maybe some of the research and some of the projects we're doing to tackle some of that. But yes, cleaning up the aquifer is big, and just, again, lessening some of these inputs that have been harsher, maybe these approaches that maybe took down some beneficial insects in the past. And how do we do these same things and still keep our yields where they are without deteriorating our national, our natural ecosystem? So that's what's kind of the focus is going forward. We still want to have our wins in agriculture, but we also need our wins with the environment at the same time.
The Washera County June Dairy Breakfast is on June 30th at the Hancock Agricultural Research Station. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
So there you go. And remember, if you're looking for specific details on dairy events across the state, go to wisconsindairy.org. When I want to know about dairy markets, I go to Mike North. He's a principal with EverAg, and he's our guest next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ plus communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
Bob Neal and Edgar Hellum fell in love in the 1930s, but they also fell in love with Mineral Point, Wisconsin, where they worked together to rescue and restore buildings set to be demolished. The gay couple gave Cornish language names to those properties, the best known may be Pendarvis, a piece of history from the mid-1800s when Mineral Point was a lead mining town. Their success during the Great Depression is considered the start of what's turned the area into an art and tourism hub. It's a story of love and preservation, and you can still experience it today thanks to Bob and Edgar. I'm Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's, like, testosterone and overload and whatever, testosterone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
This relationship that I'm having with my phone, it's a one-way trip to hell. Al from Milwaukee.
What's her name?
Who?
This person you have this relationship with.
My phone. Man, my wife is listening. What are you talking about, man?
I teach healthy relationships, so you can enroll in my class. It starts at 10 o'clock.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Days 12 and 13 of Biden's top 100 will be touching upon the residential tax credit, leasing for offshore wind energy, biofuels, and clean construction.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Let's talk about these trends, Derry. wise as far as Wisconsin and the Midwest is concerned, Mike. You know, it is America's Dairyland. June Dairy Month is what we're proud of and happy to celebrate right now. But what, in your opinion, is the state of dairy? We've had some roller coaster rides on fluid milk. One day we're feeling fantastic about the future, and the next day we're ready to sell the farm. What's going on?
Well, you know, ultimately, it's largely a reflection of cheese. And, you know, as we look at what's been going on, you'd call it correctly. It's been a roller coaster ride literally now for a month and a half in cheese prices. We've watched as from the beginning of April, block cheese came from, you know, right around $1.40 and then got right up to $2 in early May. April had a really strong performance. And then we gave it back. We went back to $1.80. Then this last week, we made a push and peaked out again at $1.98. Now we've come back and in Tuesday's session printed a $1.86 price. So what we're seeing here is clear resistance in our domestic market by buyers at these levels. The question now will be, can we hold this area? You know, if you remember what got us here, we saw a lot of focus on export activity. The month of February, the month of March, the month of April, all printing big export numbers for cheese. And those volumes were sold in December when the market was much lower and we were back at that 140 level. And so now that we're here, the question will be, can we continue to sell cheese? And anecdotally, as we talk with folks that are participating in that space, not so much. We're not seeing a lot of volume moving right now. And so we have to appease the domestic buyer. They're not too excited about paying $1.90, $1.95, $2 for cheese right now. And that's where we're kind of caught. And so market has been kind of all over the map. The good news is the whey market, which has been super sleepy and, you know, ultimately has been just kind of hanging around 35 cents for it seems like forever, finally caught a rally of its own. And in the course of the last couple of weeks coming out of May, we've taken the whey price up about a dime. So printing a 48-cent whey trade right now, that dime adds 60 cents back into milk price and ultimately helps buoy some of this softness that we've seen in the cheese market.
Mike North, along with us this morning, one of the principals with EverAg. I just want to remind you, it's not just about dairy with EverAg. It's about any risk management tool you're looking at connected to agriculture or agribusiness. Go to ever.ag and find them there. Mike, today is, as we talked about off air, the longest day of the year, the solstice, etc. And it's also when we start to see usually an uptick on summer consumption of things like ice cream, for example. Butterfat has been really, really tight, kind of back to what you're looking at with segment markets like whey. Tomorrow we're going to get our latest milk production figures. We're a little bit ahead of the curve as far as this conversation. But I question, are we going to see normal production patterns during the summer months? And aren't we normally building supplies right now? It kind of goes back to what you were talking about with that spot market. And are we going to be able to hold it?
Yeah, and that's a great point. You know, ultimately, this time of the year, we typically are continuing to build product. And you've seen that in butter, which hasn't really meant much to the market as it holds its, you know, highest price ever for the month of June. But, you know, end of day, we have not been building cheese. And a lot of that has been because of those exports I mentioned earlier. But you're right. We do see a lot of new fat consumption coming in with ice cream. And, you know, as we, you know, go through this time of the year, components come down because of heat stress. So we put a little bit of a squeeze on that particular component itself. But generally speaking, we see that, you know, the vat's full, the cheese is building inventories, and we're walking this thing into, you know, summer with mounting inventory. We're not getting that. And so what'll be interesting to watch in the milk production report is, does the USDA continue to go back and revise prior reports higher? Because we have been watching that in the course of the last few reports. And do we get a similar type of trend in the month of May when they give us the May number? You know, if you've been watching the last, you know, few months, We've been seeing milk production per cow hold pretty steady, slight growth. But end of day, milk production has been, kind of dragging, and not really, able to outperform the year prior numbers, down 0.4% in April. You know, are we going to start to climb through? And we think we're getting closer. If you've been watching cow slaughter numbers, they've been low since last fall. We continue to see, some improvement, and those revisions kind of speak to it. Bottom line is we might start to breach and, like other parts of the world, produce more milk than we did last year. So we're watching for that point. We're not sure exactly when it happens, but it could be in the May numbers. So we'll see how that plays. But yeah, definitely tight, definitely not building inventory. And that's what's allowed these markets to run.
Just 30 seconds. Is the retail purchaser, those buyers for retail, getting the message about flat milk production?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look at spot milk pricing and look at how spot milk is being paid for, we're about a dollar over what we would be paying on average this time of the year. So everybody does understand at the processor level that milk is a little bit tight, and that makes its way back to the ears of the buyer. But at the same time, we have a consumer that is ultimately feeling squeezed as well, and they're pushing back. And so if you've been watching...
Gotta go, buddy. As much as I'd love to, gotta go. Have a great Thursday, everybody. We'll catch you tomorrow.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Legislative reform of child labor on Farm and Off is a tug of war, as you'll hear today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Child labor was common in this country through the 1930s until laws began regulating it. It's normal for kids on farms to work, and the law allows that. But there are still efforts to legislate tougher standards. Reed Mackey coordinates a group called the Child Labor Coalition, which supports a bill in Congress called the Children's Act for Responsible Employment.
Importantly, it would raise the age of hazardous child labor in agriculture. It's 18 in all other industries, but in agriculture, it's only 16. It would raise it to 18, the same as everything else.
Mackey says industry lobbying has effectively kept the bill from passing.
We've been kind of the lead group that's been working with congressional offices to get it introduced every session. And there was only one time in the last 30 years where we thought we might actually have a chance of getting a House floor vote.
Mackey says the health and safety of child workers is at stake.
You have to be 21 to buy cigarettes, but you can be 12 and work in a tobacco field. It really makes no sense at all. There is a voluntary tobacco company policy not to hire kids under 16 in tobacco fields, but there isn't really much evidence that this is working. And the problem with a voluntary policy is that it's not enforceable.
More tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, we'll feature Cody Krepline in our Veteran Spotlight feature.
Then the Director of Education and Guest Experience with the Green Bay Botanical Garden, Linda Guskey, joins us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2, across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
What you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com and remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Heat in the north.